Hi, my name is Kristen Kemp, and I am a sewing alterations educator. You're listening to Project Sewing Vault Radio, the official podcast for Sewing by Carolyn. Welcome, my friends, to Season 2, Episode 1. There won't be a ton of content about sewing in this one, but I kind of wanted to explain my goals for season 2, which requires catching up with you for a bit first. If you're a regular podcast listener, you've most likely heard about Google discontinuing their podcast listening app and migrating over to YouTube Music for podcasts. I use YouTube Music for streaming music, so I thought I'd try it, and I absolutely hated it. So I asked around on social media, and I finally landed on an app that I like, and I imported all my subscriptions, which included this podcast right here. Ugh. I've thought about deleting this thing so many times. I mean, I started this podcast and then ghosted everyone for 3 years after only doing 4 episodes. So I'd kind of like to unpack that for a few minutes. The process of how I was planning out the episodes just wasn't sustainable. I was trying to write everything word for word and make it perfect. And we'll come back to that in a minute. Our shop had too much work. And the way we decided that we were full was to look around the room and say, oh, there's too much stuff in here. We had no idea what our max capacity was and no way of turning off the fire hose of work that we were drowning in. Meanwhile, the normal family things that you do when you have a young family, those tasks were just exhausting. From dealing with school shopping and teachers and starting school and photos, like all normal life events. But it was just exhausting. And then our high schooler had driver's ed classes. And let me just tell you, the state of Minnesota has not made that process easy. Testing for your actual license has to be booked months in advance, and you end up traveling all over the state to cities that you're not familiar with. And then if you have to reschedule or do it again, it's months long to get it rescheduled. And it seemed like they were failing people for no reason. I mean, the DMV has a reputation for a reason, but I digress. All of the life stuff that was happening was just overwhelming on top of the burnout we were already experiencing in the shop. There were so many other life events that happened, some pleasant, some not so much. Suffice it to say, we burned the candle at both ends and we were absolutely beyond burnt out. As a result, my immediate family unit has had to really look, uncomfortably so, at our collective mental health and how we're all affecting each other. We landed on pulling back to make space in our lives and taking to heart things like the Serenity Prayer, which says, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. There have been some definite growing pains as we confront the things that were shortcomings in our own lives that were contributing to the chaos that led to our burnout. Which brings me back to the unsustainable process I was using for putting together podcasts, trying to achieve perfection. My sense of perfection came out of finding it difficult to package my sentences without writing full scripts ahead of time. I'm always afraid that if I don't package my words in just the right way, that I'll be misunderstood, and somehow that's unbearable for me. So there I was, putting myself out there, throwing content into the void, using far too many words in an attempt not to be misunderstood. And looking back, it sounds way too stuffy and too formal, and all of that perfection, it was just a mask that wasn't actually covering my insecurities. The intelligent, rational side of my mind certainly knows that if someone is deeply committed to misunderstanding me, it's none of my business. In the last couple of years, I've had that lesson driven home a few times by several different people, and the emotions of that can't be rationalized away. Let me just tell you, it's been an eye-opening experience to meet with my therapist and focus on creating a reset for myself and those around me. She helped me to truly reflect on what my role has been in certain situations, what it should be, where I'm overfunctioning, where I'm underfunctioning, etc. So how do we climb out after burnout? Well, it's different for everyone. But for me, it's about implementing systems for everything that I can. It's creating actionable steps to force myself to use the knowledge and apply it rather than thinking that diagnosing the problem is good enough. Hopefully I'm not butchering this name, but Adrian Dorison teaches the principles from the book Run Like Clockwork. And she put a post on social media last year that absolutely hit home for me. It said something like, "Don't let the identification of the problem trick you into thinking that you've now solved it." And that really stuck with me. So, with all of that in mind, I'm going to give you a quick rundown of the history of our sewing shop to fully explain the systems we've had to add now that it's 2024. I'll try not to get too derailed here, because I absolutely could go into the psychology of the last 100 years and dissect it all and discuss philosophies and religious beliefs and everything in between, which isn't really the focus of a sewing podcast. Okay, but here we go. I'm part of a farm family that has a long memory. Our family immigrated in the late 1800s and has lived through recessions and depressions and family members that couldn't budget and estate sales to sell everything so that we could hang on to the land and fighting with the school district, which, funny story, it resulted in a great-grandparent of mine dragging the house with a team of horses over some imaginary line so that my grandfather could attend school. The farm being split up for inheritances, the next generation putting it back together by buying it from family members, 2 world wars, droughts, famines, lawsuits with the county, marriages, divorces, funerals, and everything in between. I've often heard my mom tell the story about how my grandma would buy fabric to make new dresses because it cost too much to buy ready-made ones. And one year, there just wasn't any money left over in the budget for that. So grandma bought a belt so that she could change the look of her dresses from the previous years by just accessorizing. We've got survival mode down. A couple of mottos in the farm mentality, especially if any of your family members lived through the Great Depression, are: number one, save everything because you might need that someday. And number two, you've got to make hay while the sun is shining, which loosely translates into seize the opportunities when they come because you don't know if you'll get another one. Since Mom grew up steeped in that culture, it's really hard for us to say no when people call and need our sewing services. The fear there is that if you say no, you won't have any work, and you won't be able to pay the bills, and you'll lose the ancestral home that generations of folks have done backbreaking work to keep so that you could have an easier time of it. When I was a young kid, and we're talking like mid to late 80s here, my mom, who's Carolyn, had been doing alterations and repairs at a local sewing machine store. They decided to focus on sales and quit doing alterations, which put Mom out of a job. At the time, there were lots of local sewists, so the market was fairly competitive. Mom called all the businesses that she had been doing the work for and really focused on great customer service with those businesses. She did pickup and delivery for years because we live a little ways out into the country, and driving to our house was absolutely a barrier for people back then. She focused on those partnerships with those businesses and slowly made a name for herself, so the people who had worked with her in a business-to-business capacity were starting to bring their personal business. She had relationships with the boutique bridal shops so that the bridal stores would recommend to their customers who they could go to for alterations. And by the late 90s, she was no longer doing pickup and delivery. The Mayo Clinic is in our city, so by the early 2000s, people were moving here from all over the world, and they were used to having to drive for an hour to get across a metro area, so the 15-minute drive to our house was no longer a barrier for clients. The sewing market was still fairly competitive, though, and essentially Mom took everything that called, because there were enough people in business that if she turned people down, they would go somewhere else. I mean, it makes sense, right? I've shared my story in other places, but by the time 2010 came around, I finally wanted to know how to make my clothing fit better, because plus-size clothing fit terribly back then. It's still not great, but it's better than it used to be. I worked for the summer at David's Bridal, but they didn't keep their crew from the summer through the winter, and Mom had too much work for one person, but not really enough work for two people for the winter. We called a couple of businesses to see if they would recommend us to their customers, and that winter was the only winter that there wasn't enough work for the both of us. So really quickly, here is a snapshot of 2010 to 2020. I got married. I became an instant family with a stepson and two daughters. One daughter was born later that year, and then the other was born exactly 3.5 years later. So they share the same day of the month for their birthday, and because they're half a year off from one another, they have their half birthdays on each other's birthday. We built onto the family property, and I suddenly became an aunt to a whole host of kids because my husband comes from a big family. We buried my father-in-law. We no longer have contact with my mother-in-law. We planned and hosted all sorts of events: divorces, weddings, funerals, graduations, custody battles, navigating step-parenthood, which is not for the faint of heart. And we forged through really difficult life stuff surrounding all of this while dealing with the generational trauma that comes from both sides of the family. Meanwhile, the competition in the sewing world is very slowly disappearing, one sewist at a time. Every year or so throughout the decade, we heard of another sewist who had quit or retired or died. We hired various family members over the years, but nothing really stuck long term. My skill grew, but so did the workload, so we were like the proverbial frog in water set on the stove to slowly boil. You know what comes next. The pandemic absolutely changed everything about the way we were operating, and we were slow to adapt to it, which pushed the stress levels even further. There was a mass exodus of the remaining sewists who were in the boomer generation, which shined the spotlight on our lack of processes. We never needed a filtering system in the first 30 years of business because we'd just look around the shop and say, well, I think I have enough. Let's start telling people we're full for a bit. I've talked elsewhere about dreaming up courses in 2020. And a little of it was because it was the trend at the time. Everybody was stuck at home, so people were turning to learning online. But it was also out of the panic surrounding how would I ever hire someone to help, because no one really teaches alterations specifically, and I don't really have time to stop and teach people. So I went down the rabbit hole. I tried all the things. One of my other business friends said, record everything. Just get used to recording and record, record, record. So I did. Then I looked around at course platforms, and I worked on trying to figure out how email marketing works and how to make graphics and where to host videos. And somebody said, get Instagram, because I didn't have it. And then you can do Pinterest for business. And of course, TikTok was a thing. And start a podcast and do all the things. So I tried them all. Because we had finally gotten a course platform, we started a website because we'd never had one before. And that way I could give a little bit of education for the folks that wanted to dig around and read things on our webpage before showing up here. People's weddings moved all around because of the pandemic. So some people kept their original dates and got married anyway, and other people postponed to the following year, and other people still got married the same year but switched the dates around on us. So we were trying to accommodate everyone because life was hard enough with the pandemic. We didn't want people's weddings to be any more stressful than they needed to be, you know, because that's what we do. We adapt. We're a farm family. I finally created a reservation system with a Google Calendar so that people could sign themselves up. But by the time I had put it together, we were already overbooked for the following season. And we didn't really know what our capacity was in terms of how many bridesmaids we could take per weekend. And if we take that many bridesmaids, then how many wedding gowns can we do? So then I found myself having to work on the language to be more direct because people just weren't understanding the difference between a reservation and a fitting appointment. So in my mind, a reservation is like when you go to a service counter and you have to walk up and take a ticket. It doesn't mean you've been helped. It just means you've got your place in line for when it's your turn to be helped. We ended up taking on an apprentice, and I love this story. She wandered in with her grandmother and talked about learning to sew and wanted to know how to make beautiful dresses. And Mom and I had just been talking about how we were going to have to hire someone. We were going to have to train. We were going to have to get over ourselves and just do the thing. And she and I looked at each other. We had that moment. And I turned to this girl and I said, go home and talk to your parents about coming to work for us. And she did. She's been with us for almost 2 years now. And she's absolutely fabulous. She's working on prom dresses right now. Another thing that I added was a phone menu because we were spending so much time on the phone educating people on what the process was and what they needed to bring with them for their fittings and all of the nuances of, you know, your foundation wear. You have to have the bra and the shapewear and the shoes because all of those things change how the dress fits. And so I implemented a phone menu and it was amazing how much that cut down our time on the phone, which you don't feel like you're getting interrupted because we had, you know, like headsets and various ways of continuing to work while we were talking on the phone. But you're never giving your project your full attention when you're thinking through all the things that you need to say to someone on the phone. So a phone menu has been a huge improvement for us. And then 2023 came around. 2023 nearly broke us. Every wedding party, it seemed like somebody had planned on going to their regular seamstress that they've always used before, but those people were no longer around. So we had wedding parties where we would have the bride and two or three bridesmaids, maybe the mother of the bride, maybe the mother of the groom. And then they would ask us, well, my father-in-law can't find anybody to do his suit, and the groomsmen all need their shirts pressed, and like the list would just go on and on and on. There was at least three or four wedding parties where we expected 3 to 4 people, and by the time it was over, we had helped 10 people for that wedding party. And when that kept happening on top of each other, like it would be weddings that were happening in the same month. So in the same month, instead of sending out 6 garments or maybe 7 or 8, we were sending out 25 garments. It was crazy. And as we got going, there was some generational trauma in both sides of the family that could no longer be ignored. And it came at us from all fronts. Our son turned 18 and joined the military and then graduated high school in that order. But by the time he made those plans, our business was already planned for the summer. Our fall was already slated to be one of the busiest falls we had ever had before. In the busiest month of the year, now we were going to have to take a week off to go to graduation, which if you ever get the chance to go to a military boot camp graduation, I highly suggest you go. It's so packed with meaning and truly a once in a lifetime event that occurs, and to be able to be there for your loved one, especially when it's a child that you've helped raise, there's nothing else like it in this world. There were 3 different divorces in our close circle of family and friends. Multiple family members were going to AA for the most hands-on way to get mental health support and addiction support. I was going to therapy, confronting attitudes that were holding me back and holding us back from implementing systems. And we pulled back on absolutely everything because it became obvious that our stress levels had reached brain injury level. We really focused on healing and taking care of our own boundaries and letting anybody who can't enter into deep conversations about mental health, we just let them do their own thing. Because we figured out that we can no longer be over-functioning for everybody. Over-helping and over-functioning is just like perfectionism. It's our own securities on display, and it's a control issue. So this winter has been about implementing strong systems, reclaiming our schedules so that we are running the business and it isn't running us. Part of that journey of reclaiming our schedule has included implementing an online appointment scheduler. One of our fellow colleagues said to us in the last year or so that it was the best move she'd ever made, and once you do it, you'll never go back. And we were like, yeah, right. It can't take that much of our day to do the appointments. But we started with an online scheduler at the beginning of this year, and let me tell you what, it has absolutely been phenomenal for us because I can just say to people, hey, I'll text you the link, and it completely removes about 10 minutes of back and forth. Are you available this day? Are you available that day? What about you? What about you? And like being able to just say, hey, your clothes are ready. I'm going to text you a pickup link so you don't show up at the same time as a bride. It has been absolutely a dream. And if you're listening to this going, how do I do that for cheap? Because I don't want to spend, you know, monthly subscription kind of prices. This isn't a commercial. Like, I'm in no way being paid for this. I absolutely recommend TidyCal. It is an app that you can find on the website AppSumo. And you pay $27, or at least that's the current price for it. And it is a one-time payment. And once you buy it, you have it forever, and you can set up different links and they all connect into the same calendar. So for example, I have 1 hour links, 1.5 hour links for wedding gowns. I have 15 minute pickup appointment links, and they all like go into the same calendar so that if someone takes a spot, then someone using another link is not going to interrupt that other person. It's fabulous. It's absolutely fabulous. Letting go of fears surrounding saying no and doing what works for our family, regardless of what people think of it, has been a huge game changer in us moving forward and finding a better flow for ourselves. My word for 2024 was simplify. And one of the ways I need to simplify is that there's too many words on our web pages. Remember that insecurity around being misunderstood? The website is quite wordy, and I need to change that design to make the user experience more user intuitive. Which brought me back to the podcast idea. I've taken several digital courses where private podcasts were used to communicate with the students so that folks could listen on the go. So that's what I'm going to do. Season 2 is going to be short episodes of various information from our website so that I can cut down on the visual clutter on the page. This way I can communicate with clients in podcast format. And for my sewing friends, you can see how we communicate with our clients. If you've stuck with this episode for this long, thank you for your time and attention. I promise the bulk of our episodes won't be this long in the future. I'd like to make a special shout out to my sewists who are navigating this topic in their business. Please come and visit our resource space at www.projectsewingvault.com/dashboard. It's free to become a member of our vault lobby, and we have a members-only community space inside the lobby area where you can ask questions and chat with other members, just like community groups on social media platforms. Please reach out rather than struggling alone. There are so many things that I've learned about being a professional sewist that I only learned because I had great mentors. Doing this podcast, having community spaces for conversation, and teaching courses is my way of paying those kindnesses forward so that we can boost people's body image and self-esteem and ultimately mental health with sewing knowledge before it's lost.